silver.
The thought crossed my mind, Tanu said. The silver ones should be tarnished, Lomo said, investigating a silver woman running with a sword in her hand. But they look brand new.
Magic, Seth said.
Greetings,
a voice boomed. They all turned. A large bearded man had exited one of the nearest castle doors. Broad-shouldered and large-bellied, he walked toward them. He wore princely attire and had a silver glove on one hand.
I would say welcome, but there is little to recommend this ill-fated place.
Greetings, Lomo said, placing himself between the newcomer and the others. May I ask whom we have the pleasure of meeting?
The man gave a light chuckle.
That question is mine, being master of this castle.
King Hollorix, Lomo asked.
The king is
unavailable, the man said.
I am his eldest son, Tregane, regent of Stormguard Castle.
Seth put a hand on his sword. Tregane?
Draw the sword, boy,
Tregane encouraged. Seth drew it and held it up.
Bless my soul,
Tregane said.
My boyhood weapon. How did you come by that?
The armory at Blackwell Keep, Seth said.
Then you are friends of the caretaker,
Tregane said.
Hold.
He held up a hand, looking at Kendra.
I see the medallion. Has one so young truly taken charge of Wormroost?
We're both caretakers, Seth said. It's her turn to wear it today.
I can't help noticing your glove,
Tanu said. Tregane gave a charming smile.
You have a good eye.
Might it have anything to do with the silver figures?
Tanu asked.
A worthy inquiry,
Tregane said.
I'll not blame you for keeping some distance. Come with me. We must talk. The night is never long enough.
Are you the only person here?
Lomo asked. Tregane's expression became grave.
There is another. A very dangerous man. He nabbed the attention of the three who came before you.
Tregane turned away from them.
This way.
Kendra looked at Tanu, who shrugged. They fell into step behind Tregane. He led them through a door, down a hall, up some stairs, and down another hall. Globes of light brightened the hallways much as they illuminated the castle's exterior. Lomo walked nearest to Tregane, with Seth, Nox, and Tanu trailing behind. Kendra brought up the rear. She almost cried out when a hand tugged on her sleeve. Kendra whirled to find a skinny young boy of perhaps 8 or 9 with tousled black hair and ragged clothes. He held one finger over his lips, dark eyes pleading for silence. Pausing, Kendra watched the others proceed down the hall. Nobody was looking back. The kid motioned her toward a square hole low in a nearby wall. Kendra pointed toward Seth and her friends. The boy scowled and shook his head, ducking nimbly into the hole and gesturing for her to follow. Kendra crouched and looked into the hole. It led into an extremely narrow passage behind the wall. She felt torn. Seth and the others would be panicked if she vanished, but this boy might know things. He was waving her toward him. Could it be a trick? He seemed eager and nervous. Kendra crawled into the hole, and the boy slid a panel to cover it, leaving them in darkness. Real darkness. Actual darkness. It had been a long time since Kendra had experienced real darkness. Since she had become fairy kind, no darkness had been complete, at least not while she was awake.
"Don't be scared," the boy whispered. "Who are you?"
Kendra asked.
Oggy,
he said.
None of them know about me. Everyone forgot me. Just a servant, no fancy connections. I've been hiding.
All these years? Kendra asked.
All these years, he said. We don't get older here.
We?
Me and the brothers, King Holorix's sons,
Augie said,
were the only ones not turned to gold or silver.
Three brothers? Kendra asked.
Well, two,
Augie said.
One disappeared.
Hiding? Kendra asked.
Like you? Maybe,
he said.
If so, he's good. I haven't found him.
Why did you grab me? Kendra asked.
You're a kid,
Augie said.
I figured I should help you. The other two were too far forward, too close to Tregane.
Will my friends be safe? Kendra asked.
Nothing here is safe,
the boy whispered.
Nobody is safe.
Will Tregane turn them to silver? Kendra asked.
You figured that out already?
He asked.
Good job.
Do I need to warn them? Kendra asked.
We don't get many visitors here,
Augie said.
Almost never. Before he makes a move to change them, he'll try to recruit them.
For what?
For help,
Augie whispered.
Winning the contest.
He took her hand.
This way.
A pair of silver guards flanked the tall silver doors that Tregane opened. Seth had noticed several silver blocks among the stones composing the walls of the hallway, and now he noticed something even more important. Where's Kendra? Seth, Nox, Lomo, and Tanu exchanged worried looks. Kendra was nowhere in view. Lomo ran back the way they had come, passing out of sight around a corner. Tanu confronted Tregane.
Did you do something? Of course not, friend. Your eyes were on me the whole time,
Tregane replied. They could hear Lomo calling for Kendra. The tone of his voice suggested that he was searching, not that he had seen her.
An accomplice? Seth asked.
My accomplices are frozen in silver, lad,
Tregane said, holding up the glove and flexing his fingers.
My aim right now is to talk. What could have happened to her?
Tanu said. Tregane shrugged.
The dangerous man is occupied with the three other strangers. He does not haunt the halls in this wing.
Then what happened? Seth asked.
There is nobody else here, Tregane said. She must have wandered off, which is odd because I was trying to keep my eyes on you.
Should we spread out and search? Nox asked.
We need to talk first, Tregane said. There are things you must know and matters we must settle.
We need to make sure Kendra is all right, Seth said.
Lomo ran back into view.
I retraced our steps to the courtyard, he reported. No sign of her. No answer to my calls.
Talk to me before you search,
Tregane said, walking through the silver doors.
I'll keep looking,
Lomo said.
I'll help, Nox offered.
Try not to disappear,
Tanu said.
We'll meet you back here,
Lomo promised. Seth and Tanu followed Tregane into a posh room where all the furniture was made of polished silver. Many of the floor tiles and blocks in the wall were silver as well.
You turn things to silver? Seth asked.
With this glove, yes,
Tregane said, sitting down on a silver chair.
Sit, if you wish. We'll stand,
Tanu said.
It isn't contagious, Tregane said. You won't turn silver by sitting on the furniture.
Why turn things to silver? Seth asked.
Why indeed? Tregane asked. The blasted contest.
What contest? Tanu asked.
After all this time, word has never spread,
Tregane said.
Word doesn't get out, Tanu replied.
A vile dwarf named Humbuggle tempted my father,
Tregane said.
He established a contest to be won by one of the king's three sons. Until the contest ends, the castle remains cursed.
What is the contest? Seth asked.
More about that later, Tregane said. For now, let it suffice that my glove can turn people and objects to silver. My brother Heath can similarly change objects to gold. Gold and silver help establish allegiance.
You turned all of those people to silver? Seth asked.
They are not dead, Tregane said, just preserved that way for now. Which is partly why you interest me. I could use some fleshy partners. Swear to serve me in helping me win the contest. Swear to help me win the prize, and we can work together.
What is the prize? Tanu asked.
A bauble, really, Tregane said casually. A stone that serves as the trophy. What I most want is to break the curse and free my parents.
Where are your parents? Seth asked.
Trapped in the highest room of the castle until the contest ends, Tregane said. I must claim the stone to free them.
Why not work with your brother? Seth asked.
Because it is a contest, Tregane said, and he cannot be trusted.
Seth glanced at Tanu. Tregane was obviously not being honest about the Wizenstone. Was it possible he didn't know?
How do we win the contest? Tanu asked.
I may tell you after you pledge, Tregane said. You would be wise to work with me. None of us can leave the castle until the contest is won.
And it has been going on for a long time, Seth said.
Tregane seemed to gaze into the distance.
A great while, yes. Years upon years.
Any chance we solve it tonight? Seth asked.
Tregane gave a hearty laugh.
Not unless you work with me and work quickly.
Why not be content if we win the contest and break the curse? Tanu asked. Why must we work for you?
I want the stone, Tregane said. I want the prize. It is a matter of pride. I have been after it for centuries. I will have the stone sooner or later. If you help me, we will all gain our freedom sooner.
Why don't we just agree to work together? Tanu asked. Must there be pledges?
Tregane's eyes hardened.
There must. I am lord of this castle. I have labored here a long time. I have the know-how. You work either for me or against me.
And if we work against you? Tanu asked.
Tregane raised his gloved hand, waggling his fingers.
There are other means of persuasion.
You'll turn us to silver, Tanu said.
I'll claim you for my side, Tregane said. But let's keep this pleasant.
Threats are not pleasant, Tanu said.
Seth, run.
But,
Seth began.
Now,
Tanu said, his stern tone allowing no argument.
Warn the others.
Tregane leaped from his chair, grabbing for Tanu. The potion master avoided the gloved hand as Seth backed toward the open doors. When Tregane changed course for Seth, the potion master tackled him from behind. The last thing Seth saw before he fled the room was the gloved hand on Tanu's shoulder. From that point of contact, silver spread quickly across Tanu until he was a solid silver statue.
Chapter 26 Contest.
Kendra! Kendra!
She heard Lomo calling her name.
Can I answer?
Kendra whispered.
Not if you want my help,
Augie said, halting in the darkness.
You can trust my friends,
Kendra said.
I can't trust you,
Augie said.
I'm not going to show you the best secrets. I just can't. I survived this long by staying out of the contest. Because you're a kid, I wanted to give you a chance.
Kendra!
Lomo called again, his voice more distant.
Make a noise if you can hear me!
I don't want them to worry about me,
Kendra whispered.
It won't kill them,
Augie said.
If they're looking for you, it might help keep Tregane from entrapping them, at least for a little while.
You told me he would recruit them,
Kendra said.
Probably at first,
Augie said.
Tregane is as paranoid as Heath. They both have recruited live people from time to time. We've had a few visitors over the years. They all get turned to silver or gold. No truce lasts long. The brothers don't trust anybody. Once the people have been changed, the brothers know what side they're on.
What is the contest? Kendra asked.
The dwarf set it up,
the boy said.
What dwarf?
Humbuckle,
the boy said.
A magical trickster. Do you know about the prize?
I think so, Kendra said. Do you?
Of course I know,
Augie said.
A legendary magical object. You tell me. The Wizen Stone,
Kendra whispered.
Yeah, that's right,
Augie said.
Not everyone knows this.
The dragons know, Kendra said.
Are dragons with you?
Augie asked apprehensively.
They came before us,
Kendra said.
The three warriors,
Augie said.
I saw them. They look tough, heavy armor, big weapons.
If the dragons get the Wizen Stone, they'll use it to destroy all dragon sanctuaries and take over the world.
What would you use it for?
Augie asked.
To stop them,
Kendra said.
To keep the world safe. What else?
Augie asked.
It's supposed to be incredibly powerful.
To do good, Kendra said, and I'd try to keep it out of evil hands. I've already helped do the same with other magical items of great power.
What items?
Augie asked.
The keys to the demon prison,
Kendra said. You've probably never heard of the chronometer or the Sands of Sanctity.
I know more about stuff here at the castle,
Augie said.
So what is the contest?
Kendra repeated.
Trebane and Heath would never tell you the whole story,
Augie said.
The dwarf recited a poem at the start of the contest all those years ago.
Do you know it? Kendra asked.
Sure,
he said, and proceeded to recite the poem.
To find your way to treasure untold, a coin of platinum, silver, and gold must each be placed in the fountain clear, all together, or they disappear. The golden touch can hold but one, another for silver and platinum. Elusive though these coins may be, go pay the price of liberty.
What coins? Kendra asked.
That part has been solved, Augie said, at least partially. From time to time the brothers have found a silver coin imprinted with the face of Humbuckle, a gold coin with the dwarf's profile, and a platinum coin that shows his full body. They have found them and lost them time and again over all these years.
All they have to do is throw the coins in the fountain? Kendra asked.
Apparently, Augie said, I stay out of it.
Don't you want the contest to end? Kendra asked.
I want to survive it,
Augie said.
Everyone who gets involved ends up silver or gold.
Stay away from Trigane! Seth shouted from a distance. He turned Tanu silver! Can you hear me? Watch out for Trigane!
We have to help him,
Kendra said.
Wait here,
Augie said. She heard him moving away in the darkness.
Trigane turned Tanu silver!
Seth called, his voice closer.
Can anybody hear me?
I hear you!
Nox called from a distance.
Me too!
Lomo cried faintly. Several paces away, a panel slid aside, letting light into the dark space between walls. Augie leaned out through the opening, then came back in. Seth followed. He looked Kendra's way, and she waved. The panel slid, and darkness resumed. Just outside the dark passage, heavy footfalls approached and paused. Was Trigane crouching to slide open the panel? Was he just listening? The footfalls resumed and moved away.
No noise,
Augie whispered after a quiet moment.
Follow me.
He took Kendra's hand and she took Seth's. Augie led them forward, down a ladder, and around a couple of corners.
Are you all right?
Kendra whispered to her brother.
I'm fine, he said. Tanu is silver.
I heard,
Kendra said.
That's terrible.
She could hardly believe the potion master was now a statue. There had to be a way to turn him back.
Hush,
Augie cautioned.
If Tregain finds us, we'll all be silver.
Augie ducked down, and Kendra followed him, crawling along a cramped little tunnel. Eventually, he helped her to her feet again. Seth emerged behind her. Augie opened a panel, and they ducked into a bedroom.
I leave you here,
Augie said. Wait, Kendra said. Tell us more.
I told you enough,
Augie said.
You didn't tell me anything, Seth complained. I'm Seth.
This is Augie, Kendra said. Going around with you will be the end of me,
Augie said.
I don't think you're going to make it.
Why not? Kendra asked.
You want to win the contest,
Augie said. Kendra looked at Seth.
We want to win it tonight, Seth said.
Augie smiled as if embarrassed for him.
Good luck.
What was the rhyme again? Kendra asked.
The one from Humbuggle?
Augie repeated the rhyme for Seth.
It's the contest rules, Kendra said. 3 coins have to go into the fountain at the same time.
Be careful of the statues,
Augie said. If you touch them, you will also get turned to the same material. The statues change only living things. The gloves change almost everything.
Thanks for the advice,
Kendra said.
Goodbye,
Augie said, sliding aside a panel to enter the wall.
Wait, Kendra said. What if we want to go inside the walls too?
No way,
Augie said. It's how I stay alive. I don't want you two blundering around. If you draw attention to these passages, I'll end up silver or gold.
What if we go into the passages anyway?
Seth asked.
You might get caught in one of my traps, Augie said. Or I might give you away. I helped you this time. I told you what I know. Don't make me sorry I reached out. Let me go and leave me alone.
Let him leave, Kendra said.
But he could help us win,
Seth said.
He doesn't want to help,
Kendra said.
I'd help if I thought it would do any good,
Augie said.
I'd rather survive. Please don't tell anyone about me.
We'll try to keep your secrets, Kendra said.
Good luck,
Augie said, nimbly ducking into the hole in the wall and sliding the panel to conceal it. Seth crouched and stared.
That's a good secret passage. I know it's there, but can barely see it.
Tanu is silver?
Kendra asked. Seth nodded.
And Tregain is after us. Probably Heath, too, before long. His is a gold team. Don't forget the dragons roaming around, and we need to find coins.
I keep wanting to talk to Calvin and then remembering he's not there.
Let's try to find Nox and Lomo,
Kendra said.
And avoid getting tagged, Seth said.
Think we can change Tanu back?
Kendra asked, trying to hold her emotions in check.
Hopefully, if we break the curse,
Seth said. They crept quietly from the room into the hall. Nox lay behind the bed in the room where Lomo had told him to wait, trying to stay calm. He had heard Seth calling out that Tanu had been turned to silver. Lomo had gone after Seth and suggested Nox hide so they could find him if they escaped Tregain.
But what if Tregain found him first?
What if he came into the room? What if he looked behind the bed? Nox knew he would be cornered. He would spend the rest of his days as a silver statue. Nox closed his eyes and rubbed them, trying to banish the worries.
He had volunteered for this. What was the matter with him? He had come to Worm Roost on purpose. What had he been thinking?
It had seemed magical and cool. He had wanted to help Seth and Kendra, but did he really have anything to contribute? He had reasoned that anything Seth could do, he could do, no problem. Wasn't that true? Wasn't he just as good as Seth? Or better? Nox wasn't so sure anymore. Seth could ride a flying horse through skies full of ghosts like it was normal. Seth stared down wraiths and entered cursed castles and didn't crack under enormous pressure. Nox resolved that he wouldn't crack either. even if he should, even if he was in way over his head. If Tregain entered the room, Nox would dodge him. But Tregain was in a hurry. If he came this way, he would probably peek in the room and keep moving down the hall. Nox waited and listened. He heard some footfalls a couple of times. Thankfully, they did not come right by his room, and they eventually dwindled into silence. Nox jumped and gasped when Lomo peeked around the bed. Lomo raised a finger to his lips with one hand and held up his boots with another.
"Lose your footwear,"
he whispered. Nox tugged his shoes off without untying the laces.
"For quietness,"
he whispered back. Lomo nodded.
"Seth got away. I followed Tregain long enough to see that he is wandering blind, hoping to get lucky. I wonder how long it has been since he chased somebody. He did not seem terribly good at it."
"What now?"
Nox asked.
"We try to find Kendra and Seth,"
Lomo said.
"We stay away from guys with gold or silver gloves. We try not to get killed by the dragons who preceded us. And we try to learn what is going on here and how to break the curse."
"We're in big trouble, aren't we?"
Nox asked.
"I'm not sure it gets much bigger,"
Lomo replied.
"Come on."
"Do you ever get bored inside of cursed castles?" Seth asked, moving carefully along a hallway with his sister, straining to hear footsteps.
"No," Kendra answered.
"I do, apparently," Seth said. "Are we just going to wander the night away?"
"I don't know," Kendra said. "I kind of agree with Augie that if we don't get turned to statues, we're doing pretty well."
They rounded a corner and both jumped. Only a few feet away, a silver figure was positioned as if running toward them, a determined look on his face.
"This is a person," Seth said, "not a statue."
"Yes," Kendra said. "Doesn't look like a soldier. Maybe a servant?"
"Do you think somebody will find us like this someday?" Seth asked.
"Not if we avoid getting turned to silver or gold," Kendra said.
"Do you think this guy feels like he got second place?"
Seth asked.
"With all the gold statues around?"
"Platinum is more valuable than gold," Kendra said.
"Ouch," Seth said. "Third."
"I haven't seen any platinum, though," Kendra said.
"Wait, doesn't platinum look like silver?" Seth asked. "Maybe this guy is platinum?"
"I'm not sure how to tell," Kendra said.
"Augie told me the third brother disappeared." "Does that mean no third glove?" Seth asked. "Wasn't there supposed to be one of each?"
"I think so," Kendra said.
"You need to talk more quietly,"
Lomo said, coming around the corner behind them. Seth jumped and turned, his sword halfway out of the sheath, before he realized he didn't need it.
"I guess we stopped whispering,"
Seth said.
"Let's start again,"
Lomo said.
"We were looking for you,"
Kendra whispered.
"We were looking for you too,"
Nox said.
"I'm glad you don't look like the top of a trophy."
"Why are you carrying your shoes?"
Seth asked.
"Wait, same reason we're whispering. But my boots are magically stealthy." "Oh, not in here, I guess."
Kendra and Seth crouched and removed their footwear.
"How did you elude him?"
Lomo asked.
"Tanu bought me some time," Seth said. "Then a secret person helped me."
"Seth,"
Kendra admonished.
"I won't say too much," Seth said. "But he's a secret kid who has hidden well enough to avoid becoming silver all these years."
"Really?"
Lomo asked.
"All he asked was that we keep him a secret," Kendra said.
"But you need to know what he told us," Seth said.
Kendra proceeded to explain what they had learned about the brothers and the poem. Seth thought that together they remembered the lines pretty well.
"We're hunting coins," Lomo whispered. "At least that gives us an objective."
He held up a hand. Faintly, they heard hurried footsteps. Lomo motioned the three of them down the hall, around a corner, and into a room.
I'll go investigate, he whispered.
We shouldn't all wait in the same room, Seth whispered.
Lomo gave a nod. Leaving Kendra and Nox behind, Seth tiptoed across the hall to a different room, while Lomo crept away. Seth decided the best hiding place was behind a wardrobe, because behind the bed was the more obvious spot. He carefully slid his sword out of the sheath. At the entrance, they had been warned not to shed blood. Would that warning stop the dragons? What kind of penalty would there be? He waited tensely until Lomo returned. The warrior beckoned to Seth, and they went into the room with Kendra and Nox.
One of the dragons, Lomo whispered. A woman, green hair, dressed for battle, is moving quickly and searching. I worried she might have sensed me, but I hurried away without her following.
Lots of people are looking for us, Nox said.
She might be looking for us specifically, Lomo whispered, or she might primarily be helping the Gold Brother find coins. Hard to be sure.
Heath, Kendra said.
There are too many people working against us, Seth said.
Can the dragons kill us? Kendra asked. The sign at the entrance said to shed no blood.
I wondered about that, Seth said. I hope the dragons obey the sign.
What should we do? Nox asked.
Every option is risky,
Lomo whispered.
I don't think we win this if we behave like the hunted. We need to search, too.
Chapter 27 Quiet. Kendra padded down the hall, wearing only socks on her feet and making almost no sound. She, Nox, and Seth had stashed their shoes under the bed before leaving the room. Currently out of view, Lomo was scouting ahead, returning periodically to help them avoid any of the others searching the castle. Seth and Nox walked with Kendra, peeking into every room they passed. They encountered many silver and gold statues, sometimes solitary, sometimes in small groups. Most were posed as if in motion, walking or running. Kendra could not help wondering who each golden or silver figure had been, and how long they had been incarcerated as a precious metal. Lomo trotted back into sight with a finger over his lips. He pointed in one direction, then another, and then waved them forward. As Kendra followed him at a quickened pace, she heard footsteps from the left and the right. Lomo paused at a heavy door bound in iron and eased it open, motioning for them to pass through the doorway and head down the stairs. Seth and Nox led the way down, Kendra followed, and Lomo came last, easing the door shut with barely a click. The stairs descended a good distance to a small room with an iron door. Lomo did not look hopeful when he tried it, but the door opened. More stairs beyond led down into gloomier lighting.
The dungeon?
Seth whispered.
Might be as good a place as any for us to look, Lomo said.
What are the chances of finding a coin in such a big castle?
Nox asked.
We're looking around like we expect them to be in plain sight. What if they're in a drawer, or inside a mattress, or hidden away in a silver pocket?
If we look too closely, we may not cover much ground, Kendra said.
Covering lots of ground doesn't help unless we find something, Nox said.
Supposedly the coins have been found before, Kendra said. That means we have a chance. The coins do keep getting lost, though. Lomo started leading the way down the stairs. The glowing globes were becoming less bright and less frequent.
The poem talked about the coins disappearing if not placed in the fountain together, Seth said.
And the golden touch can only hold one, Kendra said.
Do they disappear forever? Nox said. Or do they just get transported somewhere? It doesn't make sense. This whole contest seems impossible.
Kendra quietly agreed.
It's been going for a long time for a reason,
Seth said.
Finding the coins is the only way out of this cursed castle. What else are we supposed to do?
The stairs ended, and now they could see rows of cell doors, each with a peephole.
No statues down here,
Kendra said. Lomo peeked into a cell.
Empty.
He tried the door, and it opened. Knox pulled a different door open. Lomo leaped in his direction and pushed it shut.
Look first,
Lomo warned.
Sorry, right,
Knox said.
I didn't see anybody.
Lomo tried the peephole.
Neither do I.
I can usually sense the undead, Seth said, but the curse inside this castle is blocking any feeling one way or another. At least no one is paralyzed by fear.
Kendra moved along the aisle of cells, spying first, then opening doors.
The dungeon is deserted.
Only one hall so far, Seth observed. Easy place to get cornered if anyone follows us.
Maybe a good place to hide a coin, Knox said.
As good as any, Kendra said.
After the hall turned a corner, it forked. Both passages looked similar, gloomy stone hallways lined with cell doors.
Stay together? Seth asked.
I think so, Lomo said.
They veered right and moved down the hall, checking all the doors. A big iron door awaited at the end of the hall. After opening it a crack and peering inside, Lomo hauled it open. Beyond, they found a large room. A golden statue stood in there, facing a tall cabinet of the sort a stage magician might invite an assistant to enter.
Quiet box,
Kendra said.
I believe so,
Lomo agreed.
What's a quiet box?
Knox asked.
It holds one prisoner, Seth said. Always one prisoner. The only way to get the prisoner out is to put a new prisoner inside. Whoever is trapped inside gets sort of frozen in time.
Who would be inside the quiet box of a cursed castle? Kendra wondered. Could it be an ally? Or a terrible enemy?
Hard to guess, Lomo said. They are usually used for the most deplorable criminals, the kind who might tend to escape from lesser confinement.
Could be a demon, Seth said. Nagi Luna was in a quiet box.
Somebody got turned to gold down here, Kendra said.
She was looking at the box.
She leaned close to the figure, staring into the young woman's gilded eyes. They were more detailed and lifelike than most statues.
Maybe she was trying to get somebody out of the quiet box, Seth said.
Or maybe she had just put somebody inside, Kendra guessed.
They stood together in front of the golden woman, staring at the quiet box.
Could they hide a coin in there? Knox asked. If somebody had it on their person, Lomo said, it would be a clever place to conceal one.
I guess we can't peek inside, Knox asked.
If we open the box, it will look empty, Kendra explained. One of us would have to get inside and close the door. It will turn halfway around, and when you open the box again, the prisoner will be there.
And will be free to leave, Lomo said. The occupant could be incredibly dangerous.
Isn't the whole situation incredibly dangerous? Seth asked. Maybe whoever is inside can stir things up.
Or eat us up, Kendra said.
It's a risk, Lomo said.
Somebody good might have gotten placed in there,
Seth said,
or might have even hidden in there.
Ah!
Knox cried, leaping forward and shaking one hand.
I brushed against the statue!
Where? Kendra asked, surprised to see they were standing so near to the woman. Was her arm reaching out like that before?
My thumb,
Knox said.
The tip is gold! Oh no, it's spreading!
He held up his hand, and Kendra watched his thumb turn gold down to the base. Then the gold started to advance across his palm.
She's moving,
Lomo said.
Look at her hand.
Kendra watched the golden figure for a moment, and she saw the hand moving ever so slowly toward her, the fingers slightly changing position, slower than the second hand on a clock.
She snuck up on us!
My whole hand is gold!
Knox cried, on the verge of hysterics.
It's creeping up my wrist! It's not stopping!
We'll fix it,
Kendra promised, hoping they could deliver.
It only took Tanu a couple of seconds to change, Seth said. It was faster, but the glove had a hold of him.
I barely got touched, Knox said. Slower fuse. Same result, though.
He turned to the golden woman.
Thanks a lot, lady.
It's getting your shirt, too,
Kendra said. His sleeve was turning gold, the transformation trickling up his forearm.
I can barely feel my fingers,
Knox said.
But you can feel them,
Lomo asked.
A little,
Knox said.
Interesting, since it looks like pure gold, Lomo said.
Almost to my elbow,
Knox said, panic in his tone. He looked urgently at Kendra.
This is it. You guys were right. I shouldn't have come.
You've done great, Kendra said, trying to be brave and sound calm. We'll find a way to undo this.
Oh, man,
Knox said, stomping in place.
Goodbye, Elbow. Guys, tell my parents I love them. And Tess?
We'll save you, Seth said.
Knox gave a terrified laugh.
Right. Find that magic lotion that turns statues back into people. Good luck.
He looked to Kendra.
If you can't, tell my family. I love you guys, too.
He looked to Seth.
Sorry for calling you Seth Breath so much. Sorry for all of this. I meant to help.
Get into the quiet box, Seth said.
What?
Knox replied.
It should stop the change, Seth said.
He's right, Lomo said. The transformation will halt while you're inside.
That will be fun to think about for hours, Knox said.
Or days, or years.
It'll be like a dream, Seth said. You won't really notice the time going by. We'll try to leave you in there until we have a solution.
What if putting me inside frees a demon?
Knox asked.
Let us worry about that, Seth said.
If we're going to free the prisoner, now is the time, Kendra said. It costs one of us to get the prisoner out. Seth opened the quiet box.
If we change our minds and have to put the prisoner back inside, sorry in advance.
Hurry, Kendra said. It's to your shoulder.
I guess some chance is better than none,
Knox said, gold spreading toward his neck and chest and down his side. He stepped into the empty cabinet.
Good luck.
Seth closed the door. The box rotated 180 degrees. Seth opened the door on the opposite side. Within the space Knox should have occupied stood a handsome young man, lean and tall, with fairly large hands and feet and brown stubble on his chin. He wore a bright, silvery glove on one hand.
Is it over?
The young man asked.
Glove!
Kendra called, backing away from him. The young man glanced at the golden figure.
No. Still going.
He held up his gloved hand.
Don't worry, I'm not going to touch you, unless you mean me harm. Who are you people?
We came here today, Seth said. We're trying to break the curse.
What is the year?
The young man asked. Kendra told him the date. The young man frowned.
I was in there for a long time. It was impossible to discern how long. It feels like I could have entered a few minutes ago instead of centuries. Mind if I come out?
Lomo had his sword in hand.
Just keep your distance.
Sure. The young man said. I'm sorry. I take it you've met my brothers.
We met Tregane, Seth said. He turned our friend to silver.
Tregane and Heath transformed everyone, the young man said.
I'm sorry about your friend.
You're Lachlan, Kendra guessed. The young man gave a small bow.
Unfortunately, yes.
He held up his hand. Platinum glove.
Seth, the golden girl is slowly coming your way, Kendra said.
Seth moved a couple of steps away.
We didn't know they could move, Seth said.
Only on festival nights, Lachlan replied. They speed up over the course of the night.
At first they weren't moving, Lomo asked.
Infinitesimally, Lachlan said. By the end of the night, they will be almost as fast as a normal person.
Not comforting, Kendra said.
Nothing here is comforting, Lachlan said. I went into the box for a reason.
You went inside on purpose? Seth asked.
Absolutely, Lachlan said. You can only play a rigged game for so long.
Rigged? Seth asked.
You know about the coins? Lachlan asked.
Yes, Kendra said.
I played differently than my brothers, Lachlan said. I didn't try to build an army of platinum slaves.
Are they slaves? Lomo asked.
Once transformed, they obey the will of whoever wears the corresponding glove, Lachlan said. Don't blame Bethany for touching your friend.
He nodded toward the golden statue.
The order to attack came from Heath.
Does he know we're here? Seth asked.
No, Lachlan said. It's a general order to attack. The statues obey simple commands. They can hunt for coins. They can try to change people.
Who did you let out of the box when you went inside? Kendra asked.
A criminal named Jasmine Oxgard, Lachlan said. One of the fair folk. She stole something precious to my grandfather. I expect my brothers changed her after her release.
You haven't explained how the game is rigged, Seth said.
Humbuggle is clever, Lachlan said. I almost had two coins. I had the gold and I found the platinum. But the moment I took hold of the platinum coin, the gold one vanished.
Did anyone find it? Seth asked.
It was found again, Lachlan said. But none of us can hold more than one coin.
Why not work together? Kendra asked.
Lachlan laughed, loud and bitter.
I tried so hard to persuade them. I told them cooperation was the only way.
Humbuggle was smart.
He created a trial that can only be won by cooperation, with contestants who will never work together.
Don't the others want to break the curse? Seth asked.
Sure, Lachlan said. But mostly they want the prize. You know about the prize?
The Wizenstone, Kendra said.
Exactly, Lachlan said. I suppose you three want it as well.
We want to stop the dragons from getting it, Kendra said.
Dragons have joined the hunt? Lachlan asked.
Celebrant, Kendra said. We think. And others.
In human form, of course, Lachlan said.
Yes, Kendra said.
Lachlan sighed.
The Wizenstone in the hands of dragons would be truly terrifying. Good thing nobody can win the contest.
Somebody will win eventually, Kendra said.
Will they? Lachlan asked. From what I saw, despite the futility, my brothers were becoming more determined to win alone, not less, more set in their ways. What's going to change?
We'll change things, Kendra said.
You'll try, Lachlan said. Then shortly, you will be turned to gold or silver. The dragons, too. And the same old conflict will drag on.
If winning requires cooperation, how will they win without you?
Seth asked.
If they ever decide to cooperate, my brothers will find me, Lachlan said. Until then, I'd rather skip the drama.
Can we hold coins? Kendra asked. Those of us not turned to metal?
I'm not sure, Lachlan said. Everyone in the castle already had a glove,
ore had been turned to gold, silver, or platinum before the first coin was found. Kendra realized that not everyone in the castle had been transformed, but she decided not to mention Augie. He deserved to have his secret protected.
"Wait, some were turned to platinum?" Seth asked. "I thought you didn't change people."
"Not on purpose," Lachlan said. "I transformed too accidentally. All it takes is careless contact."
"Do you know where any of the coins are?" Kendra asked.
"I know where I hid the platinum one before entering the quiet box," Lachlan said. "It was a great spot, but they've had a long time to look."
"Help us retrieve it," Kendra said.
"Pointless," Lachlan replied.
"Not necessarily," Lomo said. "You have people here to help you. Don't you want the contest to end?"
"I don't know," Lachlan said.
"You'd rather stay trapped in this castle?" Seth asked.
"If either one of my brothers gets the Wizen Stone, it could be really bad for the rest of the world," Lachlan said. "Neither is fit to wield so much power. I'm not sure if anyone is, including myself. Keeping this contest going might protect the world much better than anyone winning it."
"Dragons are after the Wizen Stone," Kendra said. "I'd be more worried about them than about your brothers."
"The dragons are ancient, cunning, and wise," Lomo said. "Even in human form, they stand a good chance of eventually solving this puzzle."
"You're of the fair folk?" Lachlan asked.
Lomo gave a small bow.
"At your service."
"Why not focus on stopping the dragons," Lachlan asked, "rather than on winning the Wizen Stone?"
"The dragons are in the midst of a worldwide rebellion," Lomo said. "Dragon sanctuaries are starting to fall. Great power may be needed to protect the world. Besides, if you stop these dragons, others will come. The secret is out."
Lachlan folded his arms. "I see the argument. Even my brothers would be better custodians of the Wizen Stone than dragons." He glanced at Seth and Kendra, then turned to Lomo again. "You are aiding these mortals? What about neutrality?"
"I don't subscribe to neutrality in times of real crisis," Lomo said.
"Do you believe in these two?" Lachlan asked.
"None can know how they would wield the Wizen Stone," Lomo said. "But the girl is very kind, and I believe in her sincerity. The boy is a shadow charmer but avoids dark influences. I believe they have more chance than most to deal with the Wizen Stone without being corrupted."
"The only way to avoid corruption by the Wizen Stone's power would be not to use it," Lachlan said. "That's part of the reason I have stayed out of the pursuit."
"We can't let the dragons get it," Seth said. "What if we promise to only use the Wizen Stone to stop the dragon rebellion, and then to store it away after?"
"Such a promise might not be so easily kept with the power of the stone in hand," Lachlan said.
"Do you trust us less than the dragons?" Kendra asked. "Than your brothers?"
"The dragons and my brothers are known," Lachlan said. "I would trust nobody with the Wizen Stone, but I trust you more than myself, and I trust my brothers and any dragon much less. The presence of the dragons could shake things up here. Until the dragons are claimed to gold, silver, or platinum, or until you are all claimed or destroyed, I will help you."
"Thank you," Seth said.
"My own risk is small," Lachlan said, holding up the platinum glove. "I can't be changed to gold or silver while wearing this. As for you three and the dragons, you will probably not last the night. Once the gold and silver figures get to a faster speed, you will find avoiding them extremely difficult. You mean to store your friend in the quiet box for now?"
"He is turning to gold," Seth said. "Outside of the box, he will quickly transform into another golden enemy."
"Very well," Lachlan said. "Follow me."
Chapter 28.
coins. Climbing the stairs out of the dungeon, Seth stayed a few paces behind Lachland. He didn't expect the prince to try to turn them all to platinum, but he considered it best to be cautious. The lack of platinum statues seemed to support Lachlan's story of being the peaceful brother, but he could also be the incompetent brother who got shut in the quiet box by the others at the start of the competition. Lomo led the way out of the dungeon. He held a finger to his lips before opening the door at the top of the stairs. After stepping out for a moment and looking to the left and to the right, he waved for the others to proceed. Seth exited last, just as a woman stepped around a corner down the hall. Tall and lithe, with long green hair and dramatic eyes, she wore light armor and carried a shield and sword. The shield looked to be made of pure gold. Seth turned to find a man coming around the corner in the other direction. With long hair down past his shoulders and a full beard, he wore a heavy breastplate and greaves and carried a golden axe.
"We thought it might be you, Kendra, when we heard the gongs," the woman said. "And your brother, Seth. Lomo, the fair folk will pay dearly for your involvement. I see you have found the platinum brother. Does he have the platinum coin?"
"Should we retreat?"
Lomo murmured, glancing at the stairs they had just climbed.
"Dead end that way,"
Lachland whispered.
"Don't try to flee," the woman said.
"Who are you?"
Kendra asked. The woman smiled without warmth, emerald eyes glittering.
"How could you forget me? Were you not comfortable? Your taste still lingers on my tongue."
"Jaleesa," Kendra said.
"And you?"
Seth asked the man in the other direction.
"As a dragon, I was Obregon,"
the man said in a gruff voice.
"Didn't Raxtus replace you?"
Seth asked.
"He filled my position for a season,"
Obregon said.
"Celebrant trusts Obregon more than anyone in his guard," Jaleesa said. "That's why he could count on him to temporarily step down."
"Hand over the coin, and we will spare your lives,"
Obregon said.
"We have no coin," Lachland replied, "and you are in no position to threaten."
Growling, Obregon charged forward. Jaleesa dashed at them as well. Sword ready, Lomo stepped forward to confront Obregon. Heading the other way, Seth drew his sword to face Jaleesa. She was taller than him, emerald hair blowing behind her as she ran. Her long sword had a slight curve at the end. She looked eager.
"Don't resist them!"
Lachland shouted, having made no move to defend himself. Sidestepping away from her charge, Seth deflected Jaleesa's first swing, feeling the shock of impact in his wrists and elbows. Her next swing was too quick, the blade hissing through the air until it bit into the side of his neck. The instant the blade parted his skin, the entire sword turned to smoke, along with the arm wielding it. Surprised to be alive, blinking at the dissipating particles, Seth reached up to where the blade had kissed his neck. His fingertips came away red from the small cut there. The blade had disintegrated before it could bite deep. Shocked, Jaleesa staggered back, eyes roving the empty space where her arm should have been. No blood issued from her shoulder. Skin had grown over the remaining nub as if it had been that way for a long time. Seth stared at the one-armed woman, deciding not to attack with his sword. Lomo had avoided several swings of the axe. After seeing Jaleesa, Obregon stepped back and let the weapon hang at his side, leaving himself open to an attack.
"Don't strike him!"
Lachland called, lunging toward Jaleesa, who cowered away, cupping her armless shoulder with her remaining hand. He chased her until his gloved hand closed around her neck, and Seth watched platinum spread quickly across her from the point of contact. Obregon fled.
"Should we chase him?"
Lomo asked.
Not now, Lachlan said.
What happened to her arm? Seth asked.